A story goes that some time ago, a mother punished her 5-year-old daughter for wasting a roll of expensive gold wrapping paper. Money was tight, and she became even more upset when the child pasted the gold paper so as to decorate a box to put under the Christmas tree. Nevertheless, the little girl brought the gift box to her mother the next morning and said, "This is for you, Mama." The mother was embarrassed by her earlier overreaction, but her anger flared again when she found the box was empty. She spoke to her daughter in a harsh manner. She says, "Don't you know, young lady, when you give someone a present, there's supposed to be something inside the package." The little girl looked up at her with tears in her eyes and innocently said, "But Mama, it's not empty. I blew kisses into it until it was full." The mother was crushed. She fell on her knees and put her arms around her little girl, and she begged her to forgive her for her unnecessary anger. An accident, unfortunately, took the life of that little child only a short time later, and it is told that the mother kept the gold box by her bed for all the years of her life. Whenever she was discouraged or faced difficult problems, she would open the box and take out an imaginary kiss and remember the love of the child who had put it there. In a very real sense, each of us, as human beings, have been given a golden box filled with unconditional love and kisses from our children and our family, our friends, and especially God. There is no more precious possession, says the author, that anyone could hold. So how big is your box? Not surprisingly, there's a lot of attention given to gifts and presents and packages and boxes, their size, their shape, and their weight during this Christmas season. Typically, and folks, you know what I'm talking about, we were all young once, typically the bigger and heavier, the better. And that's kind of how we rate those things. Let me give you a quick story. I'm not proud to share this story, but I come at you as an open book, so here we go. Back in the mid to late 70s, we went over to my grandmother's for a Christmas celebration. Now, this was always a common occurrence. My grandmother didn't have much, lived in a very modest home, lived by modest means, and honestly, when we went to her house for Christmas, we realized and knew we probably weren't getting much in the way of gifts. On this particular Christmas, we walked into her small house, went up. She was the type that didn't even have a Christmas tree. As I recall, it was a ceramic tree. You remember those back in the 70s? Turn it on, lights up. We walk in and we see two massive boxes. Assuming those were for our uncles or her sons, we just went ahead and decided that we weren't going to look at them until something caught our eye when my mom, I believe, said, "You need to go look at the boxes under the ceramic tree." We did and found my brother and I's name on them. We were so excited, we tried to guess what was in them. We thought about remote control cars and racetracks and train sets and everything else that a little boy would want. Literally, our curiosity was getting the best of us on this Christmas. When we opened those gifts, we were shocked to find that they were garbage cans. Garbage cans. Now, I can remember back in the 70s, you see, we weren't really totally exposed to sports yet. We had our favorite teams, and they were the Bears when I was growing up. And so my brother and I shared that affinity. We still like them, not necessarily our favorites. And so what was really interesting about these gifts, of course, our focus was always on the gifts, never on the giver, is when we opened these gifts and took the garbage cans out, my brother was blessed to get a Chicago Bears metal garbage can. Now, this is when these were starting to make their appearance in your Woolworths and your Ventures and your other box stores that had just come on the scene. And so what happened was my brother pulls his Bears garbage can out, and so I'm thinking, well, that's kind of cool. We got garbage cans, but it's our favorite team. Now, in the mid to late 70s, there's only one team in the NFL that I hated, and I hated them with a passion, and that was the Dallas Cowboys. I'm sorry. And so when I pulled my can out, I thought, well, this is a weird color of blue, and I see a big blue silver star and realize that my great, wonderful grandmother had given me a Dallas Cowboys metal garbage can. I realize probably now that my attitude wasn't as great as it should have been. I realize now that while I said thank you, I probably didn't mean it. And while I focused on the gift, I kind of forgot about the giver. Let me ask you this. Is your Christmas only about the boxes? In fact, I'll ask you this. Is your Christmas contingent upon the gifts that you get? Speaking of gifts, in John 12, 1-8, which this is going to function as our sermon text for today. We read about another important gift. This one from a lady named Mary. You've heard about her, and we've talked about her. But here's what's interesting. This is this gift that we're going to talk about had incredible value. In fact, it was seen and shown by Mary just how grateful she was. It was a gift given out of love, shown based on her appreciation. And let's read this now and see where Mary's at. 6 days before the Passover ceremonies began, Jesus arrived in Bethany where Lazarus was, the man he had brought back to life. A banquet was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a jar of costly perfume made from essence of nard and anointed Jesus' feet with it and wiped them with her hair, and the house was filled with fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who would betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a fortune. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor, but he was in charge of the disciples' funds and often dipped into them for his own use. Jesus replied, "Let her alone. She did it in preparation for my burial. You can always help the poor, but I won't be with you very long." Pastor Earl Davis, regarding this account, had this to say. He says, the only great Christian lives are those lived out of a depth of gratitude for Jesus for what he's done for us. The Christian who thinks life has cheated him, who thinks it owes her something, who is always criticizing and griping about family and church and life, will have no great spiritual life and will be no great blessing to others. Only that spiritual life and that Christian who can repay God, can be fully used of God. People like Mary, Zacchaeus, and like Paul, feels that they can be used by God. He goes on, he says, the only great spiritual life is a life overflowing with gratitude, which shows in your material giving, your love for others, and your daily witness. And then he closes, he says, the hallmark of Christianity is gratitude, end quote. Now, at Christmas time, this is something that may get lost in translation. Oftentimes, it's based on what we receive or what we don't receive and how much we actually feel for those things. You see, Mary was certainly full of gratitude. And yet, as this story suggests, there's just so much more that we need to look at. Much like our Christmas, too often, only the gift or the gifts become the focus. Now, we can't miss the four key components of Christmas. And we're going to do this, and we're going to look at this from a secular standpoint, and we're also going to look at this from a Christian and a Christmas standpoint, because we think that maybe, just maybe, we can identify the difference between these two things. The four key components of Christmas, I don't think anybody would argue this, especially from a worldly or secular standpoint, is the gift, the giver, the believer, and the receiver. And if you say, did you just say believer from a secular worldly standpoint? Let's talk about all these things. You see, sadly and so often, our Christmas starts and ends with the presents and the packages and the boxes. It's all about the gifts. My brother and I proved this. You see, we went to that house not thinking about our poor grandmother and what she couldn't afford. Rather, our focus was on the boxes. And all we cared about was making sure that there was something in those boxes that would satisfy us. At the end of the day, while we might have shown appreciation, I don't think we were truly grateful for what was in those boxes. You see, ingratitude, if there is any, it is oftentimes given to the giver, who is identified in many secular worldly homes as Santa Claus or the recipient's friends and or family members. That's whom we identify as the giver. Moving on, if you are a believer from a secular worldly standpoint, if you're a believer, it applies in most secular homes during Christmas to how much we believe in Santa Claus and how much we believe that our parents will deliver us our presents. That's what we believe in if we're in a home that doesn't believe in Jesus, especially around Christmas. And sadly, and too often, gift receivers might or might not show an attitude of gratitude for the gifts that they get from Santa Claus and their parents and their family members. So let's take a different look. What if we identified the gift and the giver and the believer and the receiver as something far different than this during our 2017 Christmas? You see, there was much more to Mary's story than that jar of perfume. In lieu of secular Christmas perspective, let's look at the gift, the giver, the believer, and the receiver from a Christian perspective. And let's look at how that perspective might just enhance our Christmas season celebration. Let's get started. Here we go. Using John 12, 1 through 8 as our backdrop, let's start with the gift. It's interesting because in this gift, we see that Mary possessed a jar of perfume. It was an expensive jar of perfume that to Mary had incredible value. It was something that was given out of gratitude. It was a gift that was deserved by Jesus that came from Mary because she believed in Jesus and loved Jesus. The Greek word translated jar is the word alabastron, which also means perfume vase. Now, this is important for this reason. An alabaster jar or vase or box, as it is seen and read in Luke 7:37, was referred to as a precious stone in 1 Chronicles 29:2. It was valuable. It was useful. And it kept the expensive ointment that Mary had unspoiled until Mary chose to use it. You see, alabaster took on a different form. It was like marble. It wasn't something that was cheap. It was something that was well thought out. It was something that had purpose. It was something that was appreciated by Jesus. It was something that Mary valued greatly. To Mary, it was an incredibly important gift. That marble box or jar or vase and the priceless perfume in it had immeasurable value, and Judas Iscariot knew it. The man in charge of the money, the treasurer, John 12:6, John 13:29, tells us that this is what Judas was, saw only a tangible and functional and financially beneficial gift. Not one that was personal, and for Mary, not one that was spiritual. You see, from a worldly perspective, from a secular perspective, Judas just saw some kind of gift. But Mary, on the other hand, Mary saw it differently. Because Mary is a believer, she recognized the power of that gift. And she recognized what she could do, the impact that she could make, the gratitude that she could show as a believer. He saw Mary as a wasteful giver, not a grateful giver. You see, Judas didn't really understand the meaning of the gift. And he didn't understand the merit as the giver. To Judas, it was a box. But to Mary, it was her best. A similar account appears in Luke 21, 1 through 4, which is a brief excerpt that coincidentally involves a box and a gift. I'm going to read that real quick. Here's what it says. As he being Jesus, as Jesus stood in the temple, he was watching the rich tossing their gifts into the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in two small copper coins. Really? Jesus remarked. This poor widow has given more than all the rest of them combined. For they've given a little of what they didn't need, but as poor as she is, has given everything she has. Why is it that every single time I read that passage, I think of my poor little grandmother in my Dallas Cowboys garbage can? You see, my grandmother was not wealthy. She was humble and she was modest. And here's what's interesting about this. She saw great gifts. I look back on that, she must have been so proud of those gifts. She knew her grandsons loved sports. She couldn't wait to give us those gifts. You see, we saw trash cans. She saw treasures. We saw large boxes filled with trash cans. She put all of her love in those large boxes. She wanted to impact us with those cans. You see, at Christmas, regarding gifts, we tend to focus on the box. But God and his perfect son's focus is always on the best. Why? Because regarding God and regarding gifts, he always gives us his best. I love James 1:17. Listen to these words. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variables, neither shadow of turning. He's the giver of gifts. You know, I was growing up, Christmas morning's always like, what, it's like the top five things you ever experience in your life. And I remember running down and you see the tree and the gifts are under there and you get excited. You know, and as a kid, you kind of get a system involved, right? I mean, there's always a system. You kind of identify what the shirt boxes are, right? You always know those. There's like, yeah, we'll open those first, get those out of the way. But then there's always that box. That box. It's a little bigger than a shirt box, a little heavier than that dreaded shirt that you're going to get. And we would always identify that as the good and perfect gift because there's always curiosity about that gift. We were certain it wasn't a shirt. It was too small to be a racetrack, but it was something that it really inspired us to open it last. I remember my brother and I would say, that one. My mom and dad would go in and make breakfast and say, that one, that's the one we opened last. And then we would open it up, and it would be a sweater from Farm and Fleet that smelled like rubber. I have nothing against Farm and Fleet. Their clothes are fine. We bought something the other day, except that they always smell like rubber. And I remember my brother and I'd be like, well, we missed on that gift. Toss it aside, move on to the next one. So here's the thing. We're not good. We're just not good at assessing good and perfect gifts. But God is. God is. You see, God knows what you need. God knows what you want. And God will get you what you need and what you want because he loves you and he cares about you. I am amazed at how much he cares about us. Listen to 2 Corinthians 9:15. Paul says, thank God for his son, his gift, too wonderful for words. You ever feel that way? You see, you can't put Jesus in a box. You just can't. And God was so happy to give us his son that he realizes that on Christmas, we should have our focus on his son during this Christmas season. Oftentimes, we don't. God is the giver of every good and perfect gifts. And these gifts that God gives us, they are spiritual and they are useful. Romans 12, 6 through 8, we learn about the spiritual gifts that he gives all of us. And by the way, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if he lives inside of you, you have these gifts. Some more than others, doesn't matter. If you've got one, you will use it. If you have more than one, you should use it. But these gifts are used to reach others, teach others, preach to others, lead others to his son, especially during this Christmas season. This is what he gives us. But that's not all. That is not all. In addition, we find that these gifts are eternal. Folks, there's no greater gift that I can give you as a pastor than to tell you that if you believe in Jesus Christ, love him, live for him, and believe in him, you will live with him. You can't put it in a box. You can't wrap it up. You can't package it, but you can be grateful for it. It is the greatest gift that mankind could ever receive, and so many people say, I'll get there without doing that. And I can promise you, you will never, ever, ever see that gift if you don't accept the gift of his son first. There is eternal gifts that come from God, and they come in this way. Romans 6, 23, Paul says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It won't fit in a box. God's gifts are personal. They're personal. It's a father who loves his children. That's what he gives us during this Christmas season. They're personal. Matthew 7, 11, Jesus says, won't your Father in heaven even more certainly give good gifts to those who ask him for them? What have you asked for? What have you asked for? The little girl's kisses, the poor widow's coins, Mary's costly perfume, God's perfect son, my grandmother, they gave their best. They were personal, they were spiritual, they were purposeful, and they were meaningful. They weren't boxes or packages, they were sacrifices. Scripture tells us that gifts are given to honor, Matthew 2, verse 11, to equip, 1 Corinthians 12, 11, as we see regarding our spiritual gifts, to celebrate, Esther 9, 22, and to love and for love, John 3, 16. And where there is a heartfelt gift, there is a heart-filled giver who sacrificed. Mary, the daughter, the widow, my grandmother, our Heavenly Father, they always sacrifice. William Barclay once said this, the only real gift is that which is the inevitable outflow of the loving heart. That which is given because the giver cannot help it. He goes on, he says, there is the sacrifice which it involves. Giving does not begin to be real giving until it hurts. A gift shows our love only when we have had to do without something or have had to work doubly hard in order to give it. How few people give to God like that. A gift is never really a gift when we can easily afford it. A gift truly becomes a gift only when there is sacrifice behind it, and when we give far more than we can afford, end quote. So as we approach Christmas, and we begin to see these packages and boxes, let us see more than that. Let us see the good heart of the giver, who willingly sacrificed to give us their best. Let us be reminded that God, through his perfect love and sacrifice, gave us his Son, his best. And let us not miss the sacrifice that is given by every Christian believer who trusts in and believes Jesus Christ. At Christmas, we are told to believe. Remember, we talked earlier about the secular belief, which, by the way, I mean, we see that everywhere. I think one time there was a sign or a billboard or an ad, and it just had a picture of Santa. I love Santa. We have Santas all over our house. I love Santa. It had a picture of Santa that said, "Believe." Josh Groban. You ever heard of the Josh Groban song, "Believe"? Watch Polar Express. I think that's where it's from, man. You have to like the movie, just like the song. That guy could sing. Believe, right? That's what the secular world says. Believe in Santa. Believe in your parents. They'll get you presents. But from a Christian perspective, our belief looks different. You see, as Christians, we're told to believe in Santa and to trust in our parents. That's what happens at Christmas. That here it comes, that if we are good, we will actually receive presents. It's the single greatest disciplinary method ever contrived by parents. It's amazing. I was the best kid starting December 1st. If you're not good, he's not coming. Really? I remember hearing that all the time. And I used to think, I would wonder on December 23rd, I'm like, I haven't been that good. I wonder if he's coming. We used to go to my other grandparents' house, and something was kind of neat. They had fun with this. You know, they do the Santa tracker. Always do the Santa tracker. I think he's over London right now. And I'm like, yes, that means he's coming. And then I would think, oh, no, but it's me, and I wasn't good enough. I would question that all the way up until Christmas Eve. Was I good enough? You see, we've already taken a different holiday look at the gift and the giver. I want us to examine the importance of the believer and the receiver. Now, make no mistake about it. Mary was a believer. She was a believer. You can't miss it. Mary was a believer. She had just witnessed her brother Lazarus' resurrection, John 11:44. She was going to witness Jesus' resurrection, John 20:11-18. And we know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that her sins were forgiven. Nobody could be that grateful and give that much if they weren't truly saved and forgiven. In God's great plan, folks, and this is important, believers are always receivers. Ironically enough, it opposes a secular Christmas standpoint that stands on the premise that if we believe in Santa hard enough, or we treat our parents good enough, we'll get stuff. Christ believers know that we are not and cannot be good enough. Luke 18:19, Jesus says, only God is truly good and no one else. And thus we must believe in, we must live for, and we must love God with all that we have. You say, can I be good enough? I can tell you, you can't. I can't either. I tried. I took my wife shopping yesterday for our anniversary. I thought it was good enough. We came away with one shirt and a lot of empty-hearted, broken promises, because every time she tried, I'm like, I don't like it. I think I'm trying. I'm trying. We're not good enough. We try, but we're never good enough. But God is. God is. Only God is truly good and no one else. You see, from our great giver, believers receive eternal life, John 3:16, 5:24. Instruction in this life comes from his word, John 14:26. How about safety in this life, John 17:15. And the ability, believers, you have the ability to honor and serve and give to and love others, Romans 12:9-18, in this life. You see, believers are receivers because we love our great giver. And like Mary, who sacrificed her costly perfume, we are filled with gratitude. Things that you just can't put in a package, a present, or a box. So what gift has God given you this Christmas? What is it? Is it in a present, or a package, or a box? What's the greatest gift you have this Christmas? If you haven't thought about this, I encourage you right now to do so. All you need to do is take your hand and reach it out to that person sitting next to you. And you just need to look at them and say, thank you, God, for giving me this great gift. When a mother and a son can sit together in a church, When the kids can be with their friends and their family members in a church, when you realize that what is under the tree doesn't matter. Rather, it's who decorated the tree, who drank hot chocolate together, ate cookies, watched Rudolph together as a family. And you get to come today to celebrate this in the church. You don't put those things in boxes, folks. You put those things in your memories. These are things that are treasured in your heart. These are the gifts that we are grateful for. And every single one of them came from God. We had nothing to do with them. What are you grateful for? What has been sacrificed and given to you by Him? Are we filled with an attitude of gratitude toward Him? Psalm 107:1, say thank you to the Lord for being so good, for being so loving and kind. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, no matter what you do, be grateful. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Are we grateful? You see, that's purposeful. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to look beyond the presents. He wants us to see something well beyond the packages. He wants us to see the relationships, not only that we have been given by Him and through Him to our family members, but the relationship that we have with our Lord and Savior. Are we grateful? You see, every time that we lose a loved one. It's been a tough month so far. And Donna and I know because we're around it all day. But when we see people who lose loved ones, and I think, did they know that their loved one is in heaven? Because the greatest gift awaited them. And it still does if you're alive today. The greatest gift does not come in a box. It comes from heaven, given to us by God the Father and our Savior when we choose to believe in Him. And while we enjoy these relationships here and we are filled with gratitude for these relationships here, they will end here. But they'll never end up there. Are you living your life for that? Is your Christmas greater than small packages and pretty boxes? Let me give an example of gratitude. 4 brothers left home, went to college and became wealthy and immensely successful. They met and they chatted about the gifts that each one had sent to their elderly mother, whom they loved, in a distant city where she lived. The doctor's son said that he had a big house built for mama. The second said that he had a $100,000 theater built in that house that his brother had built for her. The third son said that he had his Mercedes dealer deliver her a brand new Mercedes SUV. The fourth son, a lawyer, said this to his brothers. He says, remember how mama loved reading the Bible? Well, I met this priest who told me about a parrot that can recite the entire Bible. It took 20 priests 12 years to teach this parrot to do this. Remember, mama can't see very well, so I sent her the bird. I had to pledge $100,000 a year for 20 years to the church, but it was worth it. Mama just has to name the chapter and the verse, and the parrot will recite it. The other brothers were impressed, actually somewhat jealous that this brother had thought of this. After the holidays, Mama sent out her thank you notes. She started with her son, Milton. Milton, the house is so huge. I live in one room, and I have to clean the whole house. It was a nice gesture. Thank you anyway. Then she wrote the letter to Marvin. Marvin, I'm too old to travel. I have my groceries delivered, so I never used the Mercedes. The thought was nice. But thank you. And then to Michael. Michael, the theater could hold 50 people, but all of my friends are dead. I've lost my hearing. I'm blind. I can't see or hear. It was a nice gesture. Thank you, son. And finally, to Melvin. Dearest Melvin, you are the only one to have the good sense to give a little thought to your gift. The chicken was small, but it was delicious. Thank you, Mama. Parrot for Christmas. All right. At least Mama said thank you, right? At least she said thank you. Mary was thankful. Mary was thankful. She believed, she received, and ultimately, she gave sacrificially. So did God. You see, when God gives you His Son and says you love Him, you believe in Him, and you live for Him, you will live with us in heaven. There's something to be said for that gift. It is the greatest gift ever known to mankind. It is a great gift that all of us can have if we are willing to believe in it and receive it. Are we willing to do that, especially during this Christmas season? Where is our focus so far as we approach this Christmas? Is it on those wrapped and unwrapped boxes, or is it on Jesus, our greatest gift? In gratitude, have we given him our best? William Barclay says this. He says, often we're ungrateful to God. In some time of bitter need, we pray with desperate intensity. The time passes, and we forget God. Many of us never even offer a grace before meat, says Barclay. God gave us his only son, and often we never give him even a word of thanks. Mary gave Jesus thanks by giving him her best, and so must we. You see, Christmas must be more than giving and getting packages and presents from Santa and parents. It's more than big boxes and attempting to guess what might be in those packages, only to be disappointed and potentially ungrateful because it didn't meet our high expectations. Rather, this has to be a time where we believers receive Jesus, God's best, his ultimate sacrifice, with love and thanksgiving and joyfulness. Today we are called to count our blessings. I've never missed a night. There have been nights where I thought I would. I've never missed a night to stand right in the doorway. My girls' rooms veer off, and every night I go before my girls, and as they're getting ready for bed, I stand there and tell them, if they were here, they would tell you, he does. And tell them I love them at least 10 times. At least 10 times. And then when I go back when they're asleep, I stand in their doorway and I praise God for both of them as they sleep. And they sleep so peacefully and restfully because I believe that this is the greatest gift that I could ever receive from God. Yesterday, my wife and I celebrated our anniversary. We went to a place that I absolutely love. It's called the Factory Stores of Tuscola because I love shopping. I know it's weird, all right? I love sports, too. I'm plugging into my masculine side. Mason, I love hoops, all right? Let's talk football later, Eddie. But I also love shopping. So we went to Tuscola to the outlet mall, and my whole focus was on taking care of my wife, giving her the best, because I'm so grateful to God. And I remember we were walking down the sidewalk. It was a bit cold yesterday, and I remember stopping. I literally stopped. My wife thought I was looking in a store, and I thanked God for the day that I was given, the opportunity to say thank you and to give my wife what she deserved, which is my best. I couldn't put it in a package, folks. It's beyond a box. We got done. We're walking out. It's dark. We're getting ready to go eat supper. And I said, you know what, honey? This is like the greatest Christmas gift ever, the fact that we get to spend time together, because we rarely do. We're so busy. Can't put it in a box. Cannot package it up. But we can look up and we can say thank you. And so today I pray that you will count your blessings and name them. And all you have to do is look at your loved one. Think of your loved ones. Think about his son, and you can count them one by one by one by one. That's what we do. That's what we have to do. So today, this is what I encourage all of us to do. When this happens, and I think this will happen. We, like Mary, like the widow, like the little girl, like my grandmother, we will give our best to others and our Heavenly Father. We will. And everyone will see the true meaning of Christmas by better understanding the true gift, the great giver, and what it means to believe and receive the gift of eternal life from our Lord and Savior, and the blessings that come every single day from our Heavenly Father. You see, we don't get this gift by being good. We get this gift by believing in God. I pray today that you will do just this. You see, God gave us his best, and today you're going to have the opportunity to give him yours. Now the question is, how do you do this? Can't box it up, can't package it up, can't make it a present today. But you can give God your best by giving him you, yourself, your life, your love, your heart. It is the greatest sacrifice you'll ever make. I love when people say, doesn't make sense. I became a Christian. Life should get easier. I can tell you this. When you sign up for this, your life, I promise you, will get harder. That's the sacrifice. When you sign up to be a Christian and you say, I want to give God my best, I can promise you this. Your life will be difficult, and it will every day be put to the test. And you want to know something? It'll be worth it in the end, because you will receive the greatest present. The question is, are you willing to give him your best today? You're going to have an opportunity. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you said, you know what, I backslid. I'm away from God right now. I'm not talking to Jesus constantly and daily. I'm going to encourage you to come to the altar today and do it. Don't miss the opportunity. Family friend of ours, 52 years old, guy I love, played college baseball. I love this guy. Died of diabetes this past week. Tore my family up. My dad's best friend, his family, 52 years old, one of the greatest eulogies ever given, as I understand, in that church based on this young man. It's amazing. The question is, did he go to heaven? The answer is, I don't know, but God does. God does. I want to know. Don't you want to know? Don't you want to know that when your loved one leaves this earth, you'll be able to say, I'll see them again, I'll be with them again in heaven? Don't test it today, folks. Trust it. Come to the altar if you don't know Jesus Christ. Give your life to him. It's the greatest Christmas gift you'll ever receive, and I promise for your family members to be the greatest gift you ever give. We have a lot of needs today, but we also have a lot to be grateful for. I'm looking at one of them right now, Fred and Alice. Thank you so much for being here and encouraging us. Healing is great. For Eddie being here with mom, Eddie, it warms my heart. I love my mom too, and just having you here with her makes my day, and getting to sit by Pat is just the added bonus. That is great. For every other need, I have Jenny who can barely talk, can't sing, trying to get over having her tonsils removed. And for everybody else who's dealing with sickness, I know there's a lot of people. I'm looking at one of them now trying to get better. We pray for these. These are our family members. We love them. We care about them. And we know that God will take care of them. So today, we pour out our hearts to God in our pastoral prayer. If you have needs, give them to us. We'll add them to our list. If you have things to be thankful for, come to the altar and praise God for it. And if you do not know Jesus Christ, your altar awaits. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the greatest gift you could ever give us. He didn't come in a box. He wasn't a package. He is our Savior that comes from you, and we are grateful. And so I pray today, I pray that we will receive this gift. This is what you want. You're the giver. You're the one who gives us the gift. We just have to be believers. And when we're believers, we can receive this great gift. Let us leave this church today certain of our salvation. Let us be able to leave this church today and to tell our friends and family members that we indeed have salvation. And I pray today that we would be so concerned about others that we would share with them this great gift that you've given us, and that we would offer it to them when they choose to believe in Jesus. Father, we know this life is not easy. Struggles abound daily. People dealing with sickness and disease, recovering from surgeries, and I know it's hard. And yet I am confident today because you tell us in your word that you will be with us every day. This is one of the many benefits that come from many of your great gifts. So today, I pray that we will look at Christmas from a different perspective. I pray that we will look at it from a grateful perspective. And I pray that our attitude of gratitude would show in everything that we do. For every person in here today that's struggling, everyone that's hurting, I pray that you'll heal them and help them and guide them into better understanding of what you are doing through them and with them. For our missionaries, I always pray for them because they are doing your work. To our missions team who work so diligently to make sure they are provided for, taken care of, inspire them and help them and keep our missionaries safe. And for everyone else today that will go out and leave this church, I pray today that our ministry would be taken to our homes, our schools, our workplaces, our restaurants, our grocery stores, wherever we go. Let them see Jesus in us. We ask this according to your will. Thank you for the love that abounds on this second Sunday of Advent. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. All right. Let's stand and close. All right. To every Dallas Cowboys fan out there today, John, I'm thinking about you. I am sorry. You know I warmed up to him when Tony Romo went there, so we're all good. So, yeah, it's gone. It's gone. Yeah, yeah. Actually, folks, I got to tell you this real quick, and we'll let you go. So I called my brother because my brother keeps everything. He doesn't get rid of anything. And so I said, hey, I need a favor. I need you to get your Bears garbage can that you got from my grandma or from your grandma back in the 70s. And he said, oh, done. Yeah, I can get that. And we went by his house yesterday, and he called me right before we were there. He's like, I don't have the can anymore. And I said, you're kidding me. I said, it's like the perfect prop. And he said, no, we got rid of it. And I'm thinking, the reason you got rid of it was because the Chicago Bears are so bad. That's why he got rid of it. So anyway, so we don't have the cans anymore, but we have the memories that come from my grandmother. And I'm sure you have the memories that come from all those wonderful gifts that you've received. And folks, just remember, Dan, great job on the song. Remember the Jesus loves me part, because that's really the greatest gift. And if nothing else happens, you've got that gift, and it will be there for you, not only today, but every day as we go through this Christmas season. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for being the giver, and I thank you for your great gift, the sacrifice that you made. Could any of us give up our children or a child for a fellow man that doesn't care? Could we do it? My answer would probably be no. But you did it. You loved us. You care about us. And so today, I pray that we will give you our best. I pray that we will be those believers and those receivers who take those blessings that you continue to give us. And I pray that you'll fill us with gratitude every day for what you've given us. Bless every single person in this church today, our family members. Bless them. Keep them safe. Watch over them, I pray, this week. And help them to pass the love of Jesus on to others as they come in contact with them. And we're going to have a lot of opportunities to do that. And so, God, thank you for those. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.